Good evening. Welcome to our Bible study. This is Reverend Carolyn McCullough, your host from Arlington, Texas, with Spread the Word Ministries. And Spread the Word Ministries is sponsored by Do It All in the Mall and by Blog Talk Radio. And you can find Let's Do It Radio on the homepage or the webpage at doitallinthemall.com, one place where you can securely shop online 24/7 for anything you need, as well as great listening entertainment, all in the comfort of your home. The single place where you can shop 24/7 online for anything you need and find great listening entertainment all in the comfort of your home. So go to doitallinthemall.com. Under the specialty section, you will find your religious items such as Bibles in all languages, charms, T-shirts, and all of your memorial and gift shops with religious items, more religious items to come. If you have a religious product you would like to add to our specialty section in Do It All in the Mall, all you have to do is go to doitallinthemall.com and fill in our contact form on Do It All in the Mall homepage. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're just so grateful that you are here and you're joining us in worship today through Bible study. So at this time, we're going to ask for a song.
God provides, so why do I worry about my life? When you come to my rescue a thousand times, every other voice it is a lie. God provides, God provides, in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have He multiplies. Just when I feel He won't show up on time, God provides. He'll come through when the clouds of doubt rain down on you and test everything you thought you knew. Now you finally see what God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. God provides. It's hard to say when there's no food to eat, or what you see feels all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me? But my faith can't survive on just things I see, and my feelings can't control my destiny. See, God, I only want what you believe for me. more need to fight. Watch God provide.
Amen. God is a provider, and I have watched God provide. And so I thank the Lord for this song today, reminding us that God is a provider. And as we go to God in prayer, we're asking Him to provide an answer for all of the prayer concerns that we will present to God tonight. So will you join me in prayer at this time? Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we bless and honor you because you are a provision-making God. You are a supplier of all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And so we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your presence one more time. So thank you for being with us tonight. We come confessing our sins to you because we know that we might not have done everything correctly. We sin by omission and commission. And so we're asking you to forgive us for those sins that we knew about and those that we don't know about. And we ask you, oh God, to make within us all a right spirit so that we can all be on one accord as we study your word and hear what you have to say to us tonight. We thank you, O God, for all that is going on in our world. Why? Because we know that your word tells us that all things work together for the good of those who are the called according to your purpose, those who love you, O Lord, and we love you. We are called, and we know that everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, works out for our good. And so we come asking that you look after Maurice today. We're praying that you will restore his vision in the name of Jesus. Then we lift up Ladarian Jones, and we pray, oh God, that you will be with him as he recovers. And we thank you, oh Lord. We pray also for the Wallace family as they are grieving, who is the family member of the young man that was shot in Philadelphia on yesterday. We lift up Mr. Parks. We lift up Dr. Steele. We thank you for Janice Swartz and her family. We thank you for Let's Do It Radio. We thank you, oh God, for Miss Inez and for Miss Sharon Frazier. And we pray, oh God, that you will continue to bless us all. We lift up Spread the Word Ministries to you. We lift up Nina Nyson to you, and we ask that you cover us all with your blood and that you will provide healing, comfort, peace, strength, your Holy Spirit to be there to guide us and lead us as we continue to study your word and continue to serve you, O Lord. We thank you for the opportunity of service today, and we know that you're going to continue to bless us in our study. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And even if I did not call any particular name, you know who stands in need. We know that this coronavirus is getting wild again, and it is just all over the country. And so we ask, oh God, that you would have mercy on us and bring an end to this virus. Help the entire world who's suffering with this virus. We pray for all of our political officials, and we ask that you give them what they stand in need of. Those who do not know you in the pardoning of their sins, I ask that you cover them now with your blood, dear Lord. Cover them now. Give them all a heart like Jesus. And then those who don't know you, O Lord, I pray that they will come to know you in the pardoning of their sins. We pray for the hatred and the division that we see in our country. And we ask, O God, that you will soften the hearts of men and women and help them to know that you are a relational God and you want all of us to be in relationship with each other, kind to each other, loving to each other, and doing what you have called us and equipped us all to do. We thank you for this time. Now we ask that you consecrate this study time together, and we ask that you would just be with us all. Thank you for Reverend Rodney, who will help me with the facilitation. Thank you for all of our guests. We ask that you bless every home with a double portion of your anointing, your peace, and supply them all with everything that they need just for being here with us today. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray, and we ask and believe it all. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. On last couple of weeks that we met, we just wanted to reiterate that we were looking at salvation, and as we looked at salvation, we ended last week talking about what had happened to us once we gave our lives to Christ. So we looked at the assurance of salvation and the importance of spiritual growth, which will move us into what we're planning to study tonight and for the next few times. We're looking at discipleship, steps to becoming more like Jesus, that is prepared by Reverends Rodney and Carolyn McCullough. And so the first thing we have is an introduction, our goals, our objectives, and teaching materials. This is the outline that I'm covering. And the definition of a disciple, how to become a disciple. And now that I am a disciple, what's next? Then the definition of discipleship, how to make disciples. What part do I play in keeping discipleship going in my local church? And then we will have a conclusion. So, again, I say good evening to all of you. This is participatory, and we want you to feel free to stop us as we go along. Any questions you have, any comments you have, we would love to have them. And so we want to hear from you as we go through. So right now I'm just going to get into the introduction. Discipleship is a very important process in the growth and development of Christians. So once you give your life to Christ, there's a process of discipleship that needs to take place to move and propel us into our spiritual growth. We need to nurture and grow, and that happens by studying the Word, by reading the Word, and by fellowshipping one with another. So giving your life to Christ is one of the most important steps a person will take in his or her life, but taking that step is really only the beginning. It's kind of like what happens to a man and woman. You have the wedding, but the wedding is not the marriage. The marriage begins the day after the wedding for the lifetime of the marriage. And so without discipleship training, an individual is less likely to have any kind of growth and development that it takes to become the type of disciple Jesus Christ expects us to become. Okay, does that make sense to you? Amen. Amen. So the study and discipleship training will help each of us learn how to become and likewise learn how to make other disciples. So I'll just put a pin there and say, if you're not a disciple, you're not going to be able to make a disciple. But what salvation does is it makes us responsible for being able to make other disciples. So this study is going to help us learn how to first become and then be able to make disciples. We are convinced that unless we ourselves are true disciples, we will never learn how to successfully make a disciple, or disciples. And what I'm trying to say is whatever we are is what we will make if we make anything. So you want to be a disciple first, become a disciple first, then get in the process of making disciples. The writers are therefore challenging the students. The writers, Reverend Rodney and Reverend Carolyn, are challenging the students and the teachers to seriously look at their own lives to evaluate how effective we are at first becoming a disciple, and secondly, how effective we are in making disciples. Now, I want to stop right here and talk about making disciples. What do you think a person who's making a disciple is doing? What's happening?
And well, I can answer, Park.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say love, that you're loving everyone around you through your actions and
Amen.
Just support.
Love and support. Amen. And love is that unconditional love, right? Does someone have to do something for you to love them? It shouldn't be that
no.
way. But love and support is very good. We need to love and support one another. And
Amen.
That is a good place to start. Anybody else?
Yeah, I wanted to add, Reverend Curley, as you were reading, it came to me that this discipleship thing is very important. And
yes.
this needs to be front and center in every church. It seems to me like
yes.
when a person accepts Christ, they need to get into some discipleship training. And I know I pastored for 18 years, and people would come up to the altar and get saved. Some I would see again, some I wouldn't. But
mm-hmm.
what I didn't do all of the time was get them in some training so that they could grow and develop. So
right.
to me, this goes right with getting saved, being saved. Once you're saved, then you need to be in some discipleship training.
Right. And one way we do it in our ministry is called small groups, and it's through the class system. And the small groups will help each other think about where they are spiritually. What's going on with me? What's going on with you? Where am I? Where am I challenged? What is some of the greatest challenges in my life? Where do I need prayer? Where do I need help and support that Sister Janet just talked about? What kind of love do I need? Well, in the small group studies, we are able to come together, focus on how each other's souls are prospering, and that way we can work towards learning how to give love and support to one another. Now, in Matthew chapter 4, verses 17 through 20, the writer begins Jesus' life of preaching after John the Baptist was put in prison. You remember that John the Baptist came on the scene well before Jesus did. He was Jesus' cousin, and he was older than Jesus, but he came and he was going in the world saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Jesus was ready to do the will of the Father, and he simply spoke, and people listened and followed. All Jesus did was spoke, and they heard him speaking, and then they followed. Jesus compelled Simon Peter and his brother Andrew to come follow him, and he would make them fish for people. So that's important. Once we are saved, we want to also bring others along and show them what it means to be saved. And that's what Jesus was doing. He was calling them, and they were coming. At once they left their nets and they followed Jesus. They did not ask any questions or made any excuses. They simply left their nets and followed Jesus. This passage does not say they heard Jesus compelling people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. What is obvious, though, is that Jesus was such a powerful preacher that when he spoke, people listened and they began what I like to call the beginning of discipleship training. If you will remember and reflect back, as Jesus called the disciples, Jesus also held them to do what? To sit at his feet, to listen to his teaching, and to learn from him. So verses number 17 through 20 in the fourth chapter of Matthew says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said, come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and they followed him. And that's the NIV version. But what I want you to remember is that what Jesus did was he just said, come. And when he said, come, they came. And they began their fishing for people process. Our fishing for people process began at the point that we received a conversion. We were converted, we were saved, and here we are. Now it's time for us to do what? Fish for people. And that is why it's important for us to be a disciple before we try to make disciples, because we want to make sure that we're living our best life as a Christian, because we don't want to change people's minds or hurt people on this Christian journey. And that's what we find a lot of today in our churches. People are hurt in the churches, and people don't want to come to the church building because of what they've seen demonstrated. So they don't feel good about doing that. Any comments there? Let me just point out, when I came to Jesus, I can tell you that I recognized and I realized that I had my greatest hurt in the church. I was expecting more than I received. So you run into all kinds of things happening in the church. But this is why we try to learn better so that we can do what? Do better. And when you do better, people will stay right there with you. So we want to continue working with people as we learn how to do. And Jesus tells us some things that we need to do. And first thing, we want to stick with the golden rule. Treat people the way you want to be treated. So, moving on, any comments or questions? These men could have made many excuses, but they did not. They exemplified what the passage in Matthew 6:33 and 34 teaches, and that is, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So what we are supposed to be doing on this Christian journey is changing our priorities. Our priorities will change once we acknowledge the call and receive Christ into our hearts. Any comments? So Peter and his brother Andrew heard the call, and they responded to the call, and they did not look back. The discipleship process began with the call and continued with on-the-job training. They were willing to follow Jesus, although they did not appear to know very much about the man who extended the call. And so that's where, right there, I want to say for us, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we don't know very much about Jesus. But as we study and read his word and worship and serve him, we will learn more about him. We will nurture and develop our relationship with him. And then we will also do as they did. They just obeyed. So that kind of fellowship certainly took faith. And I'm talking about the kind of faith that is needed to become and make disciples for Jesus Christ today. No doubt as Jesus continued down the path calling additional disciples, it becomes obvious in the scriptures that he taught them as he taught others. They had the awesome privilege of sitting at Jesus' feet, learning from him so they could become more like him day by day. And as we learn what a disciple is, we will see that we have to have a master teacher. So
amen.
This type of fellowship is still needed when people are converted today. Salvation or conversion is just the beginning. The new convert must position him or herself to become students of the Bible. I can't say that enough. Students of the Bible. Therefore, Bible study is very, very important. So as Reverend Rodney was mentioning earlier, when a person gives their life to Christ and do not engage in serious, regular Bible study, they are just saved, but they may not experience any kind of spiritual growth. So he or she just become an active member, must become an active member of a Bible-believing church that will help them become a serious Bible study student. Any
amen.
Comments there?
Amen. Reverend, let me add something right quick.
Okay.
Those guys, they were willing. All the way back up when you first started reading this paragraph, it said they were willing, and we have to be willing.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not willing, then we already lost. But if we are willing, you know, to follow, then that's over half the battle. And I think that works in anything in life. You have to be willing. And
yes.
Also wanted to say salvation or conversion is the beginning. I used to explain it
yes.
like this. Salvation, when we accept Christ, that's like a wedding. It's an event. A wedding don't make a marriage. A lot of people have a wedding. They spend a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Then they fall out. See, a wedding is just an event. Accepting Christ is an event. Then we have to start on that journey and living as he wants us to live.
Amen. That is very, very important, and I agree totally. So the salvation, the act of salvation is the event. Is that
right.
what I hear you saying?
Right, right.
But we're looking for the process, the growth process to continue, right?
Okay.
Exactly.
Mm-mm.
That's what's the word I'm looking for? That's when you're on that journey. What's that word I'm looking for? I know Reverend Lil know. Always have it right. Salvation is when you accept Christ. Then you start this process.
The sanctification process.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. And that's the process.
Yes. Yes. And the sanctification comes with our study of and growth in the Word. Okay? Any other comments? Let me just pause and ask the question. How many people do we have on the line right now?
Well, I'm on, Reverend Rodney.
There's five of us.
Okay, all right. So we'll just keep going. Let us reflect on Matthew 28:16-20. The disciple-making process is a command that is given by Jesus in Matthew 28:16-20. It is not an option. And once an individual gives his or her life to Christ, he or she becomes a minister of reconciliation, which means helping to reconcile men, women, boys, and girls back to Christ. So Matthew 28:19-20 gives us this clear mandate that every new convert is obligated to follow. But I submit that most of the new converts do not get to that process. So this is why we're trying to show you the importance of doing these things after you give your life to Christ. Make sense? So the word says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, once the new convert has a full understanding of the importance of the disciple-making process, the disciple-making process becomes easier to comprehend and easier to comply with, but we must be empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, in the Christian community, we do not have an option. Everybody who receives Jesus as Lord and Savior should be empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit, and is not something that just happens. We must intentionally ask God to empower us and to fill us. And when we surrender for him to empower us, he will be with us to the very end of the age. And as he said, he would. Now, and the point that I want to make there is many times we try to do stuff just because people ask us to do it or people tell us to do it. But unless we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, we're just going to be doing things out of a spirit of volunteerism, which eventually dies. But Christ intended for us after his death, burial, and resurrection to make sure that we extended him to as many people as we could. So that process should be like a wheel turning, always going around and around and around. And that's why I shared with people, even if you're not teaching them, you can invite them to participate. And if they participate and as they grow, that will be feathers in your own cap with the Lord. Does that make sense?
Amen.
So if we do not pray and ask God to fill us and empower us, we will be what? Powerless. Now, I'm sure many of you have heard people say, much power, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. Well, we must intentionally ask God to put people in our lives daily to share our faith with. So every morning when we get up and we start our day after our devotion, we should ask the Lord to put people in our path that we can share our faith with. It's not something that's just going to automatically happen. We need to ask God to do that. So prayer is an intentional weapon we must use daily. What do I mean when I say prayer is an intentional weapon we must use daily? Somebody help me.
Well, I think that it doesn't come naturally to have the mindset of I want to reach out to people and share the word of God, because Satan can get in there and really just really bum you out and get your focus off onto something else. And so we need a weapon to overcome the forces that are trying to prevent us from reaching out to the people around us. And I want to add, too, that I think it really starts with your family. I have kids, and I think that if I'm not trying to reach out to them, what good does it do me to reach out to other people if I'm not trying to teach them also? And they, you know, those fruits really do pay off. Those efforts do pay off. But when you say the weapon, because we're fighting against our own will, and we use the prayer to get the strength that we need from God, just like the song in the beginning said, watch God provide. We know that this weapon can help us to see God provide. So that's what I want to say.
Right. You are so right. And although the scripture tells us to go into all the world to baptize and to teach people, you are so right. We need to start where? At home. Because if we don't start at home,
yeah,
we may not ever reach the next person. So
mm-hmm.
we want to start at home.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not faithful with a few things, how is he going to give us a lot of things? So we want to be careful to be good soldiers, good stewards, doing what we need to do for the Lord, right? So the
exactly.
goal of this study is to define a disciple, to define discipleship, and to identify the process involved in becoming a disciple, and to identify the process involved in making disciples. And our objective will be to develop a working definition for disciple that is biblically based and theologically sound, and develop a working definition for discipleship that is biblically based and theologically sound, and identify steps involved to become a disciple, and identify steps involved to make a disciple. So we want you to get your pen, your pencil, your notebook, your Bible dictionary, your concordances, and your internet access as we go through this study. Now, we use the Westminster Dictionary of Theological Terms, and it defines a disciple as discipulus, which means the learner. And Westminster Dictionary of Theological Terms defines a disciple as one who follows and learns from another as a pupil. So in the classroom, when we all went to school, our teacher was our discipulus. And we became, well, no, I said that wrong. Our teacher was the instructor, and we were the disciples because we were the students learning what the teacher taught, right?
Right.
In our Christian mm-hmm. journey, Jesus is the teacher. And so we are trying to model our lives and the teachings that we then begin to learn and accept after Jesus. Any comments or any thoughts there? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah,
we
it does.
Because we're trying to emulate everything that Jesus is teaching, right?
Right. And sometimes those teachings aren't going to be what we want to hear.
Right.
And that can be a challenge.
Because, okay.
you know, you've sat in a classroom when sometimes that teacher says some things you just don't want to hear. And that's, again, that's where the prayer as a weapon can come in, where we pray for God to help us to understand when it doesn't, especially when we don't understand. That's what
yes.
I want to say.
Yes. Well, see, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, which made it possible for humankind to be reconciled back to God. The very act of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection not only made it possible for us to be saved, but also to become a disciple of Christ. And that's why in Matthew 28, this happened shortly after Jesus had been raised by God from the dead. And that passage is referred to as the Great Commission, and it commands the followers of Christ to become a disciple. What do you think happens to us for us not to follow that?
Well, I think, if no one else is going to jump in here, I think that we're going to follow somebody. We're going to follow something. And if we're not following in the right way, we're going to hurt ourselves.
Absolutely.
That's what I want to, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're right. You are so right. So we want to make sure that we are following the person who has the way, the person who understands the way. And when they do, then we will get it corrected, right? Because you don't want to just follow somebody to be following them. You want to follow somebody who has a mission, a goal, a purpose in mind.
And Reverend McCullough? Excuse me. And sometimes, like we were, you had said earlier, we hear things and we don't like what we hear, so we go a different direction. And even though it may be best for us, it may not be what we want to hear. And so then we're going to follow what we want to hear instead of what's best for us.
Absolutely. And the Bible speaks to that. They said it said in the last days people will have itching ear. They want to go to hear what pleases the ear. So what pleases my soul or what makes me feel good might not be what makes the better sense for me. So you have to be careful even with that and making sure that whoever is teaching and preaching the word is giving you the right word. Because we talked a little bit about that in the Bible study last week. We want to make sure that we are careful to get the word correctly. And that is why we need the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will teach us and guard our hearts and minds into what? All truth. So once a disciple comes into the full knowledge and understanding of his or her purpose, after salvation, he or she should enter into the discipleship process. And this process helps us to identify steps we should take to become a disciple. So now that you've heard all of this, how would you define a disciple?
Well, I think a disciple is a learner and a follower.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are Christians, but we don't ever desire to be in study or in worship or in service for the Lord, what kind of learner would we be? Now let's
ask
talk
that question
about
again.
How would you, what kind of disciple would you be? If you, well, that's a rhetorical question now that I've said it.
That's why I was asking. What did you just say?
Right. If you don't want to be in study of God's word, you won't even become a disciple.
You have to be hungry. You have to want to you know, be a disciple. You can't just be a haphazard disciple. Say, oh, I think I'll follow him this day. Maybe not tomorrow. Maybe on Saturday. Maybe, you know. So you're going to have to be hungry and have an open mind, open heart, and just make sure that this is what you want to do, even though, you know, it may not be what you want to do, but is it what you want to do? Do you want to follow Christ or do you want to follow the other guy? You know, do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to Hades? Do you want to help people and be Christ-like, or do you want to be impish and be devil-like? What do you as a person want to be? You have to make that as far as being a disciple of Christ or being a disciple of the dark. So it's a personal choice, but the more that you hear what is right and what is good, yes, you're going to, want to hear more and want to go in that direction of what is good, even though it's like, well, that's not what I wanted to do to begin with, but maybe helping other people and doing right is a good thing instead of being devilish and, causing trouble and being impish and whatever on the other side. So it's a personal choice, and that's why when people make that call to discipleship at the end of church, it's something that you really want to do. It's something that's been egging at your heart. It's like, I've been doing wrong for so long, and I've been going down the wrong path for so long. I need a change in my life. So then you want to go to something that's better, that's greener, that's, that's going to be a beneficial to you. That's all.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Absolutely. You have said it well. So we don't want to forget it. You have said it well. Now, when we look at Colossians 3, verses 1 through 11, we're going to see some attributes of a disciple. We're going to come back and talk about these discussion questions after we cover this. How would you define a disciple? How would you identify a disciple? What are some of the steps taken to become a disciple? And then I'm going to ask you a question. Are you a disciple? And you decide based on what the scripture says, okay? So Colossians 3, 1 through 11 says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in your sexual immortality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek nor Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all." Okay? So, again, there are clear-cut things that happen to us as an individual on the way to becoming a disciple. These things are clearly identified in the scriptures. So we will discuss how to become a disciple using the New Testament scriptural reference of Colossians 3, 1 through 11. We have identified 10 things for you that must take place to become a disciple. We have chosen to speak in the first person to make the teaching more personal. So the first thing is, I must be saved. And I think after our previous studies, we all have come to that understanding that we must be saved. We can't save ourselves. And Jesus died so that all of us would be saved, right? We can't save ourselves. So verses 3 and 1 through 3 covers that pretty clearly. Do you see that?
Yeah. I like how it says that your life is now hidden with Christ in God.
Yes.
That gives you power right there.
Yeah, because he's already bought our life with the price of his death, right? So we're no longer our
right.
own. We belong to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then also it clearly identifies that I must live a holy life and have a transformed mind dealing with spiritual matters and live accordingly. Where I see us going down the wrong track is we try to do both and. We try to be saved and still living that double-minded life or living like we used to live, and that's not what God's desire is for us. God is holy, and he expects us to be what? Holy. Now, does holy mean you got to be bored? Are boring and you can't do anything in life? No, 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 no. We want to make that clear. Holy doesn't mean that you can't do anything. You can't wear anything. You got to dress up a certain way. You can't make up and look pretty, or you can't wear jewelry. There are people who believe that you can't. But as the scripture talks about these things, it's talking about it in the way that we adorn the outer appearance, but the inner appearance is still corrupt. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, moving on. I must die to my flesh and be yielded to the Holy Spirit. That's why we have to intentionally invite the Holy Spirit in our lives when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior.
We're going to talk a little bit about how do you yield to the Holy Spirit.
You yield to the Holy Spirit first by inviting the Holy Spirit in. The Holy Spirit has to be in us just as Jesus is in us. When I say I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I need to also accept the Holy Spirit to come into my heart, into my life, to be my guide, my personal guidance. And so to yield to the Holy Spirit, you need to do what number number three is saying. You got to die to the flesh. When you die to the flesh, we have to pray and ask God to allow our flesh to die, because nobody had to tell us how to do wrong, right? We
right.
know how to do wrong. We were born into sin. So because we're born into sin, it's easy for us to do wrong. I don't know if you've ever looked at a child to see how they know they're doing wrong. And all you got to do is look at them a certain way. And they already know that they know that they're doing wrong. Well, this is a part of the sin nature that is automatically in us. We were born with this sin nature. And now that Jesus has come into our heart and has provided us with salvation, now we have a new life. And that's what happens when we're transformed. So, and the yielding to the Holy Spirit means that you're going to no longer be in control. That's why we have to agree that we're going to follow Christ regardless, right?
Amen. That's good, Reverend. I think this teaching needs to be all over these mega churches, because they're full of people who have not yielded to the Spirit, because they haven't really been taught. And so I'm appreciative of what's being taught tonight.
Amen. So Christ is Lord of my life. That's number four. I am obedient to God's word and have yielded my life to Christ. When Christ returns, I am assured that I will go home with him. And that's why we talked about the assurance of salvation. Now, if Christ is Lord of your life, that means that you have accepted the fact that you're not in control of your life anymore. Once you became saved, you're no longer in control. It's like me having a car and I'm in the driver's seat. I'm giving up the driver's seat and I'm going to let Christ drive. So when I need to do things in my life, I'm asking Christ to be the person to do it, because I know that Christ is not going to steer me wrong, right?
Right.
If I need to go back to college, I need to have Christ helping me decide which college is best for me. Which one do you want me to go to? What do you want me to study? Where can I best use the gifts and graces you have already given me, God? I need to get married. Lord, I want you to send me a mate. I want to be married. I want that mate to be best for me. Show me the mate that you want me to have. And that is why the scripture says for the man, he who finds a wife finds a good thing.
So, Reverend Carolyn?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you saying that one needs to be totally dependent on the Lord?
Oh, thank you. Yes, ma'am. That's exactly what I'm saying. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Totally dependent on the Lord. And when we ask people where we fall down, that is an area we fall down in most often. And that's why you have heard me say it's easier for us to accept Jesus as our Savior but not as our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big mistake. If Jesus is not my Lord, I am still driving. So when I get ready to move, I'm praying and asking the Lord to send me to the home you want me to be in. Send me where you want me to be. Because the home is not mine, it's the Lord's, right?
Amen.
Right.
And so everything that I have belongs to God. And because everything that I have belongs to God, I can't be selfish in my giving. I have to be able to be willing to let everything that I have be also used for God and for his glory.
Amen.
So that is why, as we're still in the first person saying, I am obedient to God's word and have yielded my life to Christ. When Christ returns, I am assured that I will go home with him. Now, the word might be telling me that you need to give your tenth and your offering, is what the word might be telling me. I might not want to do that. As Janet said, there are some things we don't want to do. But I need to yield myself to doing it because this is what I was instructed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Paul says God loves a what? Cheerful giver.
Cheerful giver.
If I'm going to give it and I don't want to give it, I might as well keep it in my pocket. Because
mm-hmm.
it's not going to do any good because I'm not giving it in the right pretense anyway. Make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the earthly things that lead to idolatry must die, for they will bring the wrath of God upon us. And that's verses 2-6. And that was real clear. He said, set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth, for you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. We're trying to get to the greater gain. And the greater gain is eternal life with him. He is holy, and he wants us to be holy as he is holy. You think God is going to let all of the evilness in this earth enter into heaven with him?
No, not at all.
I don't think so, because that would be defeating the purpose of why he allowed himself through Christ to be born through a virgin, hallelujah, and to be raised and lived a life on this earth to then bear the sins of the whole world on his shoulder. And then took what he took during the death, burial, and then finally the resurrection. So when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Well, when we die, we're going to have a glorified body. This body won't be the body that is transformed and renewed with Christ in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what Sister Lil was laughing and picking at me on when I was talking about how I made my burial.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter what you do or how you do it. I'm not going to be Carolyn as I know it.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking about that, too, about when we were laughing over that a couple weeks ago.
Right.
You
know, everything comes full circle. And so now, number six, I am no longer the old me without Christ. Now I am transformed. So I'm new with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, you once walked when you were living in them. So when I was a sinner, I was cussing and fussing and hating and lying and stealing and cheating or whatever. All these things, backbiting, all these things we do in the flesh. But when Christ came into our lives, we took on a new personification.
Yeah.
We are now what? Transformed.
Mm-hmm.
So number seven, I am ridding myself of all the sin, including sins that people cannot see. So no matter what you see happening, if you're secretly trying to sneak around me and do something, I'm going to say to you, you might as well do it in my face. Because the person who already knows is the Lord. And he's the one who's judging. I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can I add something?
Sure.
I tell my children this because I live by what I'm about to say. I tell them in every situation, always choose to do the right thing, especially when you think no one's looking. I live by that because as soon as I think, if I think no one's watching, it comes back in my face always. And I tell them that, you know, especially when you think no one's watching, always choose to do the right thing because someone is watching.
Yes. So
I just wanted to add that.
That's why people can so easily say, and I thought she was a Christian.
Yeah.
I thought she was
a
Christian.
Yeah. Yeah. Inez. Inez, what are you going to say? What are you going to say about that, Inez? Come on.
It's not you. It's not you, Janet. It's just people,
I know.
You know, they think that they're holier than you, you know, and that they're untouchable and that, you know, nobody can see what's done in the dark doesn't ever come to the light. But, we don't have to do anything. That shadow seems to be overcast on them.
And the Lord is speeding that up. Yes.
Right. You don't have to say anything.
These are all the things that come to light that have been hidden for so long.
And so you just feel so bad. It's like, man, I can't do this anymore. I just got to come clean. So they feel it because they know it's wrong. They know they did wrong. So therefore, a person doesn't have to do anything or say anything. You just look at them crazy. It's like, you looking at me? Why are you looking at me like that? What did I do? How, you know, it's like, what's the song say? It's written all over your face?
Written all over your face. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so we are overspent on our time already, but this is good. I'm having a good time. Number nine, I have a new lifestyle. I am being renewed daily, seeking knowledge in the image of God. Y'all, it is a pure waste of time to not be growing in the Word and practicing the Word every day. That's a waste of time. And I am so glad that God is patient with us. because he would have been turned us down a long time ago if he wasn't. But as a true and a committed disciple, I must love and accept everyone without prejudice, because everyone is defined by Christ and is included in Christ. So for the Christians to be running around hating people, running around talking about stuff, and when we see and look at a lot of things that's going on in the world today, it ain't no way that we as Christians can support a lot of this crazy stuff that's happening. The Lord is going to hold us accountable, because we should be the teachers in helping other people to see a better way. So no matter how people mock you when you're trying to do what's right, the ultimate thing is that the Lord has the final say, right?
Amen.
Because who are we trying to please? God, not man. Paul made that clear in the Word. We're not trying to please human beings. We're trying to please God, because human beings can't do anything to us.
Amen.
Even if they kill this body, they can't do nothing to my soul.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I think
so God
that,
is good.
Yeah, what I love about it is, first of all, I think the family shows us what God is, that the mother and father show us that God is both male and female, and the children have the same relationship with the parents as we do with God. I mean, I don't care how bad, you know, I do care how bad my children act, but if they ever say to me, Mom, I act bad so much, all I do is cause you pain, and I'm not going to be your son anymore because of that. And they try to leave the house or leave home, there's no way. I would go chasing after them and say, I love you unconditionally. And I look at that as how God looks at us, the father-son and the mother-daughter, mother-son relationship. And the fact that our lives are hidden in Christ, I get a do-over every day. Every time I wake up, I get to start my life anew.
Yes.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I said new mercies every day we get them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like,
God, you know, he's such a forgiving God. And even, go ahead, finish that, Janet, and I'm going to come back and say something else regarding the mercy.
Okay. What were you going to say?
I heard a preacher this morning talking about forgiveness. And he shared that when we do not forgive others, we are refusing to extend mercy to them, which is the same kind of mercy that God extended towards us. That was so impactful for me, because I'm one who's pretty big on forgiveness. And I thought about it. I was like, ooh, Reverend, thank you for sharing that, because that really blessed me. And I will be sharing that with other people. It puts it in a different perspective. Who am I to deny another what Christ has already given me?
That's right.
So that's crazy.
That explains why he tells us to forgive one another, or he will not forgive us. Because not only are we forgiving the person, we're extending his mercy towards the person. That's really good, Reverend Carolyn. I like that.
That was great. It blessed me all day today.
Yeah.
So,
you know, there's something that I see a lot that really breaks my heart is when I see people come right out and express their hatred for President Trump. I mean, I may not agree with him, but I know that if I don't forgive him, God can't forgive me. I mean, even if we pray the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And I tell people, you know, with who have this hatred towards President Trump, I'm like, don't tell me you're a Christian and then you express your hate for the man. You have to forgive him or else you're not going to be forgiven yourself. And I've just seen so much of that this year. And I don't care if people say, well, it's his fault, he does it. Well, like Mom would say, if they jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge too? It's, you know, that kind of, even if there is bad behavior, that doesn't mean you have to do it too. You have to forgive. And it just breaks my heart this election year, seeing the outright hatred for our president. He's our president, President Trump. And again, we may not like him. We may not agree with him. He may do some things that offend us, but we've got to forgive. Or at least I've got to forgive. I don't want to preach to everybody else. I'm just saying I got to look at my own heart and be willing to forgive. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, and that is absolutely correct. And that is why the scripture teaches us that we need to pray for one another. I don't care how crazy I am and acting or doing whatever I'm doing, I still have to pray for my brothers and my sisters, and I need to help them through whatever. And that is why I say, even for those who are the spiritual representatives for him, the Lord's going to hold them accountable for that.
That's right.
So if I am your spiritual representative, and I see all the things that's going on and all the lying and all the mocking and all the hating and all this, and don't say something to you about that, the Lord is going to hold me accountable for that.
Mm-hmm.
So we all want to make sure that we are as clear as we can be in doing the things that we need to do for the Lord.
And talking about hatred and so on and so forth, you know what? God's hands are bigger than our hands, and I just say I'm going to leave it in God's hands because he can do so much more than I could ever think or dream about doing. So it bothers me, yes, but it's like, why am I going to be bothered with petty things that I don't have any control over?
None. No control. All you can do is what you can do, and that is
And pray.
That's right. But all you can do is do the part that you are supposed to be faithful in, and that is we have a system in place to affect change. And so all of us becomes a part of that if we are doing what we're needing to do as well. But even if you don't agree, whatever you agree with, it still does not justify the hatred that Janet is saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's why we have to examine our hearts very, very carefully to see whether these 10 things that we just talked about are in line with us being the disciples we need to be. Because after all, if you're watching me, I might be better, but now after when your eyes are not on me, that is when I need to be demonstrating my putting my best foot forward, is how they put it. So we need to do just that. But any other comments, we'll get in. I promise you we will pick up with the questions. Not I promise you, I'm hoping we will pick up with the questions for discussion. I want to know what it means to be a disciple, and are we really, do you have some dialogue on, or let's have that, let's talk about what you, where you are in your own disciple-making process. What do you think about where you fall? Because after all, there's no need in having Bible study if we're not going to evaluate where we all are individually, right?
That's right.
We're looking for the growth process in the meantime. So I just thank you all for joining us today. I don't know who have been on the line, but I thank you for those who are on the line, and I thank all of our radio listening audience who's out there, and I pray that you will continue to let us know that you're listening. If you need a handout, we can get it to you, and we're ready to share with you what we have been sharing tonight. We also have some pamphlets. If you've been praying with us, listening to us, and you have given your life to Christ, we have some information we want to send to you that will help you in your growth and development process for the Lord. So you can do that by going to the homepage of Do It All in the Mall and fill out a contact sheet and send it to us and tell us exactly what you want, and we'll be able to do that for you. You can send your prayer request to the station, and we will pray for you as you have requested. We have already prayed for LaDarian Jones Jr., for Maurice, and for the Wallace family. We have prayed for Mr. Parks, Dr. Steele, Janice Swartz and family, Let's Do It Radio, for the McCullough family, for Spread the Word Ministries, and any other prayer requests we want to put before the Lord tonight.
I got one. Yeah. I mean, I just think we should pray for the election, that we can accept what the outcome and just have good hearts going into it. I hope that's okay for me to ask.
And
yes,
coming out of it. Yes, and I also want to pray for the Broadway family.
Yes. Okay. So let us pray. Father God, we come to you again, lifting up Maurice, LaDarian, the Broadway family, prayer for this election and those who are working relentlessly to count the ballots and do all that we need to have done. We lift up the Wallace family in Philadelphia. We lift up the officers that were involved in the shooting. And we pray, O Lord, that you will continue to pour your spirit out upon Mr. Parks and his family, Janet Swartz and her family, Inez and her family, Sister Sharon and her family. We lift up Spread the Word Ministries. We lift up Let's Do It Radio. We lift up Do It All in the Mall. We lift up all of the people that are involved in this Bible study. If they were listening tonight, we ask that you touch them all in a mighty way, O God. We thank you for the opportunity to have studied your word. We know, O God, that as we heard the song earlier, God provides. You're going to provide a way for the election and the acceptance of the election. You're going to provide a way for the coronavirus to be contained. And for those suffering from the coronavirus, we pray that the deaths will slow down, O God, and that the disease will not continue to spread. I thank you, O God, for my test being negative that I took today, and I pray, O God, that you will continue to pour out your spirit upon us, O God. We thank you, thank you, thank you. I thank you
thank
for every part, everybody played in the name of Jesus. I pray
Amen.
That you will be the doctor in the sick room, the lawyer in the courtroom. I pray that you will be the judge, O God. I know that you are God of justice, and you have an order that you want followed, and I pray that you will allow the Christians to help lead the way.
Yes.
So others will see you and want to follow us as
yes.
we follow you, O God.
Yes.
So we thank you for the opportunity, and until we meet again, we pray that you will allow us to have a sweet night's rest, and that we will wake up tomorrow with energy to do all the things that we will have on our plate tomorrow. Thank you, O God, for the worship that will take place on Sunday, and we pray that many people will be on the line to hear what we're doing. And again, we thank you for every ear that is attuned today and bless the homes of those ears. And we thank you, O Lord, for what you're doing. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
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 At this time, Amen. We're going to have another song, and we will end with this song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. But we know that you all are, hallelujah, are just so blessed to be. We are so blessed to have each other in the presence tonight. So thank the Lord for what you're doing, hallelujah. And so we just ask, oh God, that you will continue to be with us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And we after the song, then I will give you the closing.
Trials and tribulations, worry and worryation. These were so plentiful in our past. You know that black men and black women got on slave ships together. We laid down in the filthy hatches together. We stood up later together on auction blocks together. We got up before sunrise and slept after sunset together. It was always together. We have to look at that very seriously these days to wonder why aren't we together. Now, these days we have acoustic guitars and pianos. We have all sorts of modern electric this and that. But all the time, through all those centuries, we had incredible saints among us. And they strung us all the way out of slavery. And they have to be remembered. They sung some simple songs. They could have in their songs asked for shelter, because sometimes they had nothing over their heads. They could have asked for food, because they had nothing in their pots. They could have asked for clothes, because sometimes only rags covered their bones and their skin. And yet, what they asked for was very simple in that song. They thought it was the most important thing in the world. They asked, Lord, could I have a closer walk with thee? Lord, just a closer walk with thee.
Just a closer walk with thee. Lord Jesus, granted we need the Lord right now to daily walk with me.
That is my prayer today, that we all have a closer walk with him. Amen. I have been your hostess this evening, and I am Reverend Carolyn McCullough from Spread the Word Ministries in Arlington, Texas, and you have been listening to our Bible study on Let's Do It Radio, and you can find Let's Do It Radio on the homepage of doitallinthemall.com. Doitallinthemall.com is a secure 24/7 online shopping mall providing over 5,000 of your favorite stores as well as stores you may not be familiar with. You can shop for anything you need and find great listening entertainment all in the comfort of your home. Wherever you are, in your car, in your home, at work, wherever, you can pursue the specialty section where you will find all your religious items such as Bibles in all languages, religious charms, T-shirts, gift shops with anointed oils, and memorial shops with more shops coming. If you have a religious product you would like to bring to Do It All in the Mall, we ask you to go to the homepage of Do It All in the Mall and complete the contact us information and send it to us. We will be happy to put your store in the mall. When you shop through the mall, we earn a commission from all qualified purchases, and it goes back to your community. But in order for us to earn that commission, you have to do what? Shop, shop, shop till you drop. The more you shop, the more funds we build up, and we're able to return to your communities where your money matters. Shop with us till you drop with us, and then at the same time change communities, change our lives, and make our lives matter. You can make a difference nationwide. So take a tour and shop for all of your holiday purchases. Go ahead and get ahead of the crowd and peruse the website. If you like what we're doing here at Let's Do It Radio and Do It All in the Mall, you can help keep this radio on the air and Do It All in the Mall in business by clicking the donation button on the homepage of doitallinthemall.com. To call in during the show Tuesdays through Fridays and listen in live on Sundays, the number is 845-241-9985. With start times 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 4 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 6 a.m. Australian Time. Please share this information with your church members, friends, families, relatives, in-laws, outlaws, siblings, and yes, children. Share on social media. Spread the word. The bigger the crowd, the bigger, the broader the spectrum. Thank you, Spread the Word Ministries, for sharing your word and your ministers with us. Thank you for listening to Let's Do It Radio through Do It All in the Mall. Stay blessed until we meet again. Let the church say what? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good night to each of you. Have a great evening, and I look forward to hearing your voices on Sunday. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good night.
Amen.
You can find Let's Do It Radio on the homepage of Do It All in the Mall. Come join us and listen to Let's Do It Radio as you're shopping the first online mall with over 5,000 stores for all your holiday shopping needs. Yes, Do It All in the Mall has its own radio station, and you can listen to us as you shop. So shop with us, listen to us, and talk with us at doitallinthemall.com.